Hey everybody, it's Eric Clark. We're gonna do a couple of Steady Eddies, I call them, from AccuVest and the global brand strategy. In a portfolio, sometimes you have balance, and I think for us, we do a lot of balance all the time, rather than just having all of the money in super high growers or super low growers that are very stable, predictable, et cetera. We tend to be pretty balanced between the steady eddies as well as the good growers. And today I just want to review two of the steady eddies, Visa and Costco, because they've been great stocks over the long term, nice, steady, predictable companies in general. COVID was a little bit of an outlier. And those are great compliments to, some of the other ones I've done, the other reviews I've done over the last couple of weeks, like a DraftKings that's growing very fast, or a Live Nation that's still performing really well. And it's funny, you don't need to compromise your returns by just buying fast growers. I mean, Visa and Costco have handily outperformed the S&P 500 over the long term, and they were not nearly as volatile as some of the big high growth stocks. So, just wanted to start with Visa. We still think there's probably 20% upside. Again, these are good long-term secular themes of people using less cash and more credit, and there's not a lot of credit risk in Visa and MasterCard, whereas there is in Discovery and Capital One and even American Express. We love American Express. Would love to buy that thing a little bit lower, but we're trying to avoid a lot of credit exposure as delinquencies rise, and it's harder and harder for consumers to make ends meet and pay their bills with high inflation. So, just for some things about Visa, generally pretty resilient from a consumer spending trends perspective in the latest quarter. This is one of those similar to Amazon, my report with Amazon. It's rare that a really good mega brand underperforms the S&P over the last 3 years, and they slightly underperform, mostly because of the COVID and a lot of the slowness in cross-border travel returning. So we think there's going to be an outsized outperformance versus the S&P going forward, because great businesses tend not to lag, and when they do, that's when you really want to add those and build a bigger position in those companies, assuming that the business is still strong, the verticals that they play in are still strong, and the management team is still executing well. And all that is true with Visa. So, if you look over the 10-year period, just so you know, I mean, Visa's up 428%, and the S&P is up 196%. So basically over double the return of the S&P over the last 10 years. So, there is an inflation hedge built into the credit card companies, right? So as things stay elevated in price and you use your credit card, you are essentially paying more, and that means their transactions grow. Even if volume is fairly stable, they're making more money because things cost more. So we like that inflation hedge embedded in the payments, all the payments business models. So let's, this is a 10 to 15% earnings per share grower, kind of in perpetuity. I mean, they just tend to grow like that over time. They are massive free cash flow generators, $6.5 billion this quarter, $20 billion a year in free cash flow. So a lot of the revenue that they generate drops right to the bottom line, because the business is just highly scalable and really incredibly efficient. So just looking, $12 billion in revenue for the quarter. Net revenue was $8.6 billion. The overall purchasing value was $3 trillion, just to give you some size and scope of the amount of transaction volume that's happening. Cross-border obviously is very important, particularly with travel. That was up 18% year over year, so getting much better. They bought back $16 billion in stock for 2023. The dividend grows, I think they raised it by 16%. So you're going to get a good pay raise in your smaller dividend that grows over time. So this is not a high dividend payer like some of the more staple oriented companies. This is a dividend grower, and historically dividend growth stocks perform better than high dividend paying stocks. So we like that kind of style factor. They just initiated a new $25 billion buyback. So there's plenty of buyback in the, you know, every quarter they buy back a lot of stock. So in our mind, this is a perfect steady Eddie stock for, you know, a little more uncertain world. Even if consumer spending slows from here for the next, let's call it the next quarter or two, you know, they have a lot of levers to pull from an EPS growth perspective. And again, I don't think inflation is going to come down much further. So they're still going to have elevated inflation embedded in there. So we still like the company from a chart perspective. I'm just going to look here. You know, on a 3-year basis, you're kind of getting right back up to the former high in July of 21, where things really got difficult for the market. So we might chop around here with some, decent overhead resistance, but, you know, I'm just going to add to this thing. If we get it under, you know, 235, that's certainly an area where we would be adding. And we eventually think that this thing takes out an all-time high at 249. It's trading about 242 currently. So moving on, let's talk about Costco. Here's an irony. I don't know if you enjoy the shopping experience at Costco. I actually don't love it that often. Although, you know, if you go it off hours, it's actually pretty pleasant. But this is a monster compounder. 862 warehouses, 592 in the US. So it's certainly North American focused. They have 5 in China, 40 in Mexico, 33 in Japan, 29 in the UK, 18 in Korea. So slowly over time, they will continue to build more warehouses. There is plenty of growth potential ahead for Costco. And, you know, it's not, let's face it, you've been to a Costco. It's an enormous undertaking to build these things and, you know, deal with local governments outside the US. So I don't expect that. They have never shown a willingness to grow at all costs. They tend to grow smartly, which is a great thing. This is the best management team in retail, period. Costco. These guys, this business model is so different than most others. This is a high volume, high inventory turns with lower margins, passing those savings on to consumers. That's why there's so much incredible consumer loyalty with the memberships. And, you know, the memberships grow over time. Churn is incredibly low. People just don't tend to leave once they come in. And you know, there's been a lot of Costco COVID beneficiaries that have since fallen back to earth. But Costco and Amazon and a few others are one of those businesses where if you were loyal before COVID, you still are. If you weren't a member and you maybe thought you had to try it or were forced to through COVID, you're not leaving. And so there's a major new step up in revenue and customers from COVID, because those who weren't involved got involved, will stay involved, and that will keep their revenue and recurring revenue really strong. So this company is a staple of life. They prove that lower SKUs are better for consumers. Like, we have so many choices. You go into a grocery store and you have 32 choices for olive oil. It's absurd. These guys work with all of the vendors. Every vendor would love to get into Costco. They might not like the price that Costco is willing to give them, but the volume they absolutely love. And so they make it easy for people. They have lower SKUs. The Kirkland brand is a monster on its own. If that thing were a standalone stock, I'd buy the Kirkland brand because it's bigger than most brands in all the categories. So, you know, again, not the best shopping experience in a warehouse format, but it's the place that people go to explore, find new things, and get bulk. Particularly, you know, I'm a family of three, so we only go to Costco once every, you know, 2-3 weeks because we just don't require that. Demographically, if you think about it, younger people are getting married later and having less kids, so that is a potential red flag long term that they're going to have to deal with. But, you know, these guys just continue to figure out ways to win for consumers and then obviously win for the balance sheet and win for shareholders. So, you know, again, it's not a cheap stock. It's never been a cheap stock. I wouldn't expect it to be a cheap stock because it's the best retailer on planet Earth. And so, you know, I'm just going to get into the most recent quarter. You know, $77 billion in revenues for the quarter, $237 billion a year. Net income was $6.3 billion. So as you can see, this is a low margin, high volume business, and that's okay. They don't pay much of a dividend. It's less than 1%, I think. They do grow it over time, and they do special dividends at the end of the year on occasion when they've had great years. They love to pass on the savings to the end user. And so just looking at the chart here, I'm looking at a three-year chart. The thing looks like it's just building pressure to do another breakout around the 570 area. It's about 563 and change right now. Again, you know, in April of 2022, it was at 612. That was the peak. And it fell, down to 420, where we certainly added a bunch of it when it was lower, and has since recovered to 563. So I, you know, if you widen your lens a little bit, I'll pull a 20-year chart of this thing. I mean, when you look at it, at the chart of Costco, it looks like an internet stock, right? Insane. What an amazing business model, steady Eddie stock. And it's absolutely annihilated the S&P 500 as well. So these are two good examples of being able to beat the market and not having to be this go-go growth and tech stock that everybody wants to own singularly in a portfolio. You can beat the market with great business models, great management teams, good steady Eddy growth over time, in a really important, particularly for consumer spending, in a really important consumer spending category. And that's what Visa and Costco has done over the years. And I think we have great things ahead. You know, we don't expect a ton from Costco on a yearly basis. It's up like 20% or so this year, so it's doing just fine, you know, 2x the long-term average of stocks. But I think there's probably more upside in Visa over the next 12 months. But you never know. If the market gets soft, Costco will probably outperform a lot of other stocks. So Costco acts very defensively in difficult times, and gives you a nice steady Eddie return in, you know, in good times, where it'll lag the best consumer discretionary and tech stocks in raging bulls, but it then does really well in more difficult and lower return environments. So love them both. We've owned them for the entirety of the dynamic brand strategy. I can't see much that would change that. And we'll buy those things on dips. Hope everybody enjoyed this little steady Eddie report of Visa and Costco. See ya.